Okay, so this is my preliminary return to the podcast. The last time I uploaded an episode was back in November, November 22nd to be specific, with the great Donald Tardy of Obituary, who, might I add, are doing two more live stream concerts, March 27th and April 3rd. And the April 3rd live stream will be their album, The End Complete, in its entirety. So if you're an Obituary fan, I suggest you grab a ticket. Anyways, after I uploaded the episode with Donald, I thought I'd take a break for December, you know, with it being Christmas and a year end to a terrible year. And by the time we rolled into 2021, I really realized I didn't have the itch, desire to do the podcast. And that's why I do the podcast, to because it's fun. And the moment it ceases to be in my head, if I don't want to do it, I just don't do it. And so we are into month four of a break. And I think I'm going to restart it in mid to late April. So hang on to your hats. The reason why there's this episode right now, episode 249, is because Damien Abraham corralled me and Nick Flanagan to another talk. We did one for his podcast, Turned Out a Punk, episode 300, part three, I believe. And we just had so much fun just talking and shooting the shit that it was great. Nick Flanagan and Damien Abraham are a handful of people that I've been in touch with during the pandemic, and we are all in the same boat together. So it's kind of us keeping each other company, and we enjoy each other's company. And so this is what it is. I think Damien came up with the DND title to this kind of podcast. Damien, Nick, Danko, kind of a sub podcast to each other's podcasts. We're posting this into our feeds. Damien is posting in Turned Out a Punk. Nick Flanagan is posting in his Nick Flanagan Weekly podcast. And of course, there's this episode in my feed. So this is episode 249. Episode number 250 will happen in April. I'm still on a prolonged break, but I have to be honest, doing these two live streams that we just finished doing as a band, Friday, March 12th and Saturday, March 13th, was a real kind of shot in the arm, so to speak. A kick in the ass. I prefer shot in the arm, seeing that it's apt for pandemic times. But it got me, you know, going, and it really kind of stirred things. And with people getting vaccinated and posting about it, I'm really feeling mentally positive that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So with that spirit, I am announcing the podcast will be back in April. And so to tie everyone over and to tie myself over, there's this, the DND sub-podcast, episode one, with Damien Abraham, Nick Flanagan, and myself. Enjoy. It'll be great to hear that theme song once again. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Danko's co-host. Cool. Hello for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Damien from fucked up. Stop playing.
All right. I was thinking we should do. We should have a theme song where we sing TNT by AC/DC, but change it to DND.
DND.
I'm dynamite. Right. You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah, we could just sing over the song, or is that copyright?
That's probably copyright. I think you just play on the guitar because you're the only one out of us that can actually do music for real. And then, like, you know, we can all just like sing over top of it. That could be our entrance theme.
Absolutely. I'll work on that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Because you're the only one that can actually do music too. It's amazing. Three lead singers and only one can screw in the light bulb.
Barely.
All right. We're recording. We're on. That's our intro for now. I guess we're recording this with a video too.
Yeah, but no one's going to see the video part of it, right?
We can put this on YouTube potentially. You know, Nick has right. Nick's very much backlit right now. It looks like we're staring into the sun.
I am. Let's change it up, bitches.
The camera
positioning. Botches. Botches.
We reconvene though. We get the three Charlie. Most beloved / not so beloved front people in Toronto punk rock getting together again, reconvening.
Am I not beloved?
I'm sure there's probably people that don't beloved you.
That's how life goes.
Yeah, so you know, not everyone's going to be beloved by everyone.
Who doesn't love you?
There's a lot. I get texts. I get emails. I don't get texts or emails. I should say I get comments on social media.
That's very different than texts and emails.
I know. But like it comes to you like a text and email does because of social media. So,
but you can turn notifications off.
You can.
Just an idea.
You can. I don't have it like come to me like a notification like it shows up on my phone. But like, you know, you check that stuff and then you see
it. I know. Like, I see it all. I mean, yeah. I hyper focused on an interview with Mac DeMarco I did where like the first comment was like, this guy is like a shitty Nardwar. I interviewed him at the Polaris Awards and they were just like, somebody literally wrote like that this interviewer is like eats dog shit or something.
Call your next record Shitty Nardwar.
Shitty Nardwar. Favorite
album I've ever heard.
I would be willing to do that as a tribute to Nardwar, but I don't want to make it sound like Nardwar is shitty. So I think
I don't think it would. I don't think it sounds like that at all.
Well, it's also
kind of Wayne's World reference with shitty Beatles.
True dat.
I've
said bitches, true dat. This is not going well already in terms of.
So Nick, it's not going well, not because there's a bunk bed where you are currently talking to us from, right?
This is my office.
Welcome not because of the office. Bunk bed.
The bunk bed's awesome. I store my things on it.
Okay.
This is not my bedroom. I don't want to brag, but I got there are multiple rooms in this estate.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
When the pandemic's over, you're gonna make a band very happy when they have somewhere to crash.
When the pandemic's over, yeah.
When the pandemic's over, my house is gonna become like a flop house for bands. Just come take over, crash.
Take off your masks. Take off your masks. Vaccines are your special friend.
I want you to know, Nick, I put you over. I had Bill Hader on Turn Out of Punk recently, and I put you over because he said he's a huge fan of Odd Squad. And I said, my friend Nick Flanagan has written on that show.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. Thanks. I mean, you know, I noticed my IMDb starometer.
It went up. You went up. You went up a couple of notches.
Yeah, thanks.
That should serve well in countering the shitty Nardwar comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, lately, due to lack of output, there's been lack of shit talk.
I would call my comedy record, if I did a comedy record, Poor Man's Stromba.
Are you a poor man at Stromba?
Like, maybe not. Financially, yes. Very much so.
Oh, my God. No, everybody's doing great.
But no, I think that would be, I think it's a hilarious name for the comedy thing. I've realized I've done like three podcast appearances this week, and I've all done them wearing the exact same sweatshirt. It has not been the same day.
Yeah, no, this is a great time for like not like during the laundry cycle, just like using shirts that you already used before. Like you're like, I mean, I can wear this several times and then wash it. Like what do I have to lose? Except like I'm trying to repel people on the street. I'm trying to.
Yeah, no one comes near you anymore. You don't like deodorant sales must have plummeted because like no one can get within 6 feet of each other. So it's like, well, what's the point? You know, not wearing deodorant. Trust me, I'm still wearing deodorant because, you know, I have a family that lives very close. But if I didn't, you know, I'd just be like, fuck it, I'm not wearing deodorant.
I wear deodorant, and I'm just noticing like there's a problem lately where I don't know. Just the next day, I shower, I wear my deodorant, and then I wake up the next day and I'm like, this is horrible. Or even at the end of the day, I'm just like, what's happening? Like, am I just emitting anxiety fumes like that penetrate magnesium? You know, like charcoal.
Could be the deodorant you're using.
No, this shit's kick ass. Schmidt.
Today's episode of Turned Out of Punk is sponsored by Schmidt.
Isn't Turned Out of Punk. This is all of us together. This is like
the this is our brand new podcast that's on our Patreon. Do you have Patreon, Damien? I always forget.
I do have a Patreon. Yes, I do, for Turned Out of Punk.
You know, I have a Nick Flanagan one, and I have a hard time updating it. At this point, it's just something where I'm like, you are supporting the things I'm giving everyone.
What do you get with Patreon, Nick? What does someone get from you?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like right now, the primary thing they get is like 2 to 3 episodes that help support me doing like several episodes of comedy, podcasts a week. But I also send them like my albums and, you know, this type of thing.
Who's your dream guest, Nick, right now?
Who's my dream guest? Oh, that's a good question. Who's my dream guest? I think it would be this is hard. Because like everyone is so horrible now.
Mel Lastman's kid.
Mel Lastman, the married
the other New bad York boy kid. From the commercials.
No, but like probably Beto. No.
That's one of my dreams. That's one of my
that's
dreams.
For you. That's for you. Beto O'Rourke is for you. I do think Nardor would be a really fun guest, but that obviously isn't a dream guest because like that could be a reality guest pretty
easy. I don't know, man. Motherfucker's turned down my he's turned down my podcast a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's
just been I'm like, I've done your shit, like, you know, multiple times. Come on. But he,
why is this so hard for me right
now? I don't think he's going to do anything where the tables are turned around and he's the one answering the questions. He's very private.
I mean, I interviewed Nardwar. I interviewed Nardwar before for iWeekly when he did, or for like, he did something at the Drake Hotel, like a speaking thing, and I did interview him in advance. And he gave me.
But that was print, though. That was print.
Yeah.
You're never going to get him on an actual.
We interviewed him on like a radio show, but you're right, like you're not going to get him on like a Marc Maron or something like that. Maybe we'll do Maron one day. That would be an insane episode. The guy who knows the most about music and the guy who knows the least about music of all time coming together.
You know what? I think that Sarah Silverman would be a really good guest. Like that would be so interesting because there's a lot that I would want to talk to her about. Especially in terms of like just her shift in not so much her beliefs but like in her like public output, because it went, you know, she used to tell jokes that I loved but that like today would be defended by you know, the worst people of all time, and now she is sort of extremely online and humanist, let's say.
What about you, Danko? Who's your number one?
Well, I mean, I don't really have one, except I did try more than I usually try. I don't try at all for guests, really, other past an email, but I really really kind of tried to get Daryl Mack from Run DMC on the podcast once, where I tried to find like a link and I mailed and I did all this stuff and nothing happened. So I guess nothing against him, but I guess he would be a dream guest.
Yeah.
There's so many rap people. Yeah. I mean, if we go into the category of hip hop, it's like, okay, well, Cool Keith, Diamond D, you know.
But the thing is, for Daryl Mack is like, he's some guy that I think liked rock and roll more than rap. And yet he's known only for rap and he tries to do rock, and he just has an interesting, I just would love to talk to him about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something that I think it was Andy, who used to be an Endless Blockade, posted on Twitter once that was interesting, was like, what's the name of like, or not the name, like the Onyx style Judgment Night soundtrack style, like sort of like almost hardcore, like call and response kind of
like MOP.
MOP, Onyx. There's a lot of names that you could put in there. Even like kind of not Busta Rhymes, but like certain Busta Rhymes things. And like what like, what is the origin? What's the earliest stuff that's like that? You know,
New York rap, you know, like DMX is like that too.
But DMX is still like, it's very, I think what they mean is more like four guys, you know, like,
well, aggressive. Aggressive.
So, well, but Run DMC had that cadence. That's why I'm bringing it up. Like, they did have a rock.
That's why it's New York. That's what I'm saying. It's New York's like that. Yeah, Public Enemy's got stuff like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Public Enemy. Did Schooly D.
Well, when Onyx blew up, that shortly after they blew up, Run DMC staged a comeback. And they were dressed, but they were dressed up exactly like Onyx.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like Down with the King, right?
Down with the King.
It was amazing. It was a really good comeback.
When I was in fifth grade and that came out, or sixth grade, I was just like, one of the positives is just like, well, positives and negatives is just like growing up here, especially downtown, it's just like the music people liked was like really like across the boards, you know, because I remember the same year that like Teen Spirit blew up, we were all like Dos FX and, you know, Chaka Demus and Pliers, and but also Nirvana, you know, and Weird Al for me.
I liked Run DMC was the first group I ever got into. I had Raising Hell on tape.
Wow.
And
I didn't have any of that stuff, but I licensed
the Fat Boys. Rest in peace.
But it was, you know, Very Special Christmas was a huge album for me. And that had, I was a kid. And I
remember that came out.
Santa Baby by Madonna. I was like, oh, this is cute, but there's a sexiness. And I was
lucky that I had a dad that was never home and felt very guilty. So he'd come home and he'd bring me like a present. You know, like
your Ed OG, like be a father to your child.
Yeah. So no, but I was watching Much Music, and it was just Much Music would play awesome stuff. Like the video flow was really great back then.
Amazing.
So I'd see Run DMC or see BC Boys or see the Fat Boys and be like, you know, can I get that tape? Can I bring it to tape? So I had a few cool tapes by the time I was, you know, six or seven.
Yeah, probably when I was like nine, I had this friend who, again, yeah, his parents were divorced and his dad like was always sort of showering him with like the coolest shit. And he had NWA and the Posse on tape.
Whoa.
And he had Sex Packets by Digital Underground. And I remember we would listen to those like so much. I mean, a lot of that was very child, even though it's not like, you know, the Humpty Dance is very easy for a kid to like, and NWA it is just because it's bad, like naughty, but you know, I would say that I don't really want to put Dope Man on for my child that much, but I would say check out the song Humpty Dance. Don't worry about the bathroom in Burger King and what he did in it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what he said and do what you like, which was just grab them in the basket.
That was the sex packets, $1 for $2. How many do you want for you? Can I have it? Can I have it? You remember that song?
No. I mean, I mostly just remember I had a 12-inch from later on that was really amazing called Oregano Flow.
Okay.
And also I guess Do What You Like, but I couldn't sing you Do What You Like.
Yeah, I definitely was a fan.
And I get around. No. What was the amazing one? Same song, of course. That's an amazing song with the debut of Tupac on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That song's incredible.
How wild is it that Much Music had the last Tupac Shakur interview, the last Biggie Smalls interview, and the last Kurt Cobain sort of big significant interview?
Three words: Sook Yin Lee.
No, she didn't even do the big Nirvana one. That's Erica M, right?
Right. She did. Didn't she do the one where they were like outside in Seattle talking? You know, I mean, what's so cool and really telling when you go on YouTube and look for videos and you look for interviews, you're absolutely right. Like, there is so much music, 90s content. And
there's shit in that archive that would blow people's minds. Like Dead Kennedys live show from the concert hall shot with three cameras.
Wow.
The second time they came here. He had like, there's like, like Black Flag show, a whole Black Flag show that they shot.
For what era?
Did you have access to all that when you were working there?
Yeah, like it was like, so cool. It wasn't like, you know, you went to the library, but you could just go and see it. But the problem was it's all on magnetic tape. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not here forever. Yeah, it's definitely an incredible, like one of the best archives of music in the world.
Let's burn it. Let's destroy society and burn all evidence of the existence of.
You're really in with the bunk bed and the angle you chose to shoot that. You have a real crazy guy on YouTube vibe going on right
now.
Well,
also because I have a beard, and yesterday I was trimming it, and as you can see, I crossed this like reverse Anton LaVey goatee, so I have these two sort of like lighter patches right at the bottom, so it looks almost like I'm trying to do some sort of tribal cultural appropriation.
You got what posters in the background too? Is that the Tragically Hip? Why am I the biggest face on my thing?
Tragically Hip. It's The Outsiders and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And there's also a Queen one. And there's
two. What's under the green blanket?
A mirror. I put my green screen over a mirror because it would be a lot more annoying if the mirror was in the shot.
Are you like, do you do a lot of green screen work?
I mean, like I've tried. It's just steps. I have a hard time with steps, you know, like you set it up, you put the green screen on, you got to like, mostly with Zoom, you know, like you got to like kind of get it right. There can't be any lines, you know, it's just, I would love to do more green screen work. There's so much I want to do. And it's just like all of the steps within it are like, I can barely, right now I have three dogs. I'm dog sitting. That's in this house I'm in. And I'm taking care of three dogs. And one of, you know, it's just like, that is mostly what I'm doing. And it's hard to sort of.
I get it. I got three kids.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where it's just like you get so frustrated at the amount that you're doing. And by the way, Damien, it seems like you're doing a ton. And even me, if like I were saying, okay, well, what you did was, we might be in the same boat where we're just like, oh, I did a bunch of shit. And like, okay, so what did I make from this? Okay.
It's, you know, you got to do it for the love of it when you're doing a podcast. Like I got a friend who hit me up the other day and he's like, I started a podcast. Like, just let me know how you monetize it. And I'm like, yeah, you too. Let me know.
Yeah.
Hit me up when you figure that out.
Exactly. Like right now, you know, people talk about monetizing and it's like, I don't know, do it on YouTube. Like basically spend all of your time figuring out the rollout.
Yeah.
And then you don't have time to do the podcast.
You know, it's like if you look at the podcasts that are very popular, mm-hmm. there's obviously exceptions to this, but like for the most part, they're from networks. Like I worked at Q. Like when you hear Tom Powers do an interview, there's like two other people working that. There's like at least two other people working on that interview with him. There's a producer. I mean, there's like an engineer. Yeah. And it's just. If you look at the podcasts that are out there now, like, you know, when you listen to something that NPR or CBC is producing, it's very much a different thing than what I think we're all trying to do and what kind of the spirit of the medium was in the beginning. But,
yeah,
you know, it's also such an open medium. It's bound to be used by like larger corporations to kind of get access to people. And now that's also how you monetize it is, you know,
you sell it, like you could basically treat it like, you know, like there's a guy named The Angry Video Game Nerd, Cinemassacre on YouTube. And I do think
I know, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, so you know, the story of the Angry Video Game Nerd is that he's one of the oldest YouTube accounts. It was really entertaining at first because like nobody was really doing it. And it was talking about the shittiest video games and get this guy getting mad about it. And he did a good job. And he's like a total like metalhead, whatever, like filmmaker, like he's a very creative person and people were into it. But then like 10 years later, still doing it. And then eventually signs it off to some company. And now it feels like the guy's, you know, just like beholden to keep doing it. And he had to bring in like three guys from the company or like his weird, you know, like side men. And it's just like so unnecessary and uncomfortable. And it's YouTube, I think, is something that's been really, really interesting to me lately, like watching Majority Report with Sam Cedar and Michael Brooks, who died, who was amazing, and Jamie Peck. But also there's a new guy named R.M. Brown, and he's doing these takedowns of like, you know, like right-wing American people primarily. And it's actually really fun. It's just because it's so irreverent. He lives in Texas, and that's my shit lately. And I don't know. I mean, I think right now people, it's hard to have a business plan when it feels like everything is kind of shifting under our feet so much. And it's almost like, to me, the urge is to do exactly what I want to do, you know?
Yeah. I just have fun doing it. You know, that's the thing is like, mm-hmm. you know, it's about still trying to find, you know, doing it for the fun of it more than trying to do it for, it's like, you know, when you have a band, and there comes a time where it does become like a real job, but like up until that, it's got to just be about the fun, because otherwise what's the fucking point?
I mean,
That's why I've paused my podcast for what started off as 2 weeks is now in its third month. I'm burnt out by doing it, and I don't feel like doing it. So I'm not saying I'm not going to do it, but when I do, it's because I want to have fun again.
So. Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm talking about.
Are those the guard dogs in the jail that you're living in?
If you saw these dogs, you'd be like, aww.
I did see them. I did see them.
Yeah, because you came by and you gave me a PSP.
Where my dog pound at?
Yeah, the dogs are. Yeah, they rushed. They were like, they're the nicest guard dogs you ever met. Like, they just rushed out, and like the one guy just like jumped up and tried to give you a hug. Basically, it was. They're super cute, but yeah. Anyway, what was I saying about? I was going to say that, like, I paused interviews, but that's only because, like, I'm still doing my solo podcast, but my producer, Andy Lloyd, the great Andy Lloyd, left. He's got stuff to do. And man, I used to edit my interviews, but now it's just like, my voice, I cannot handle it. I cannot handle how dumb I feel listening to a conversation I'm having with somebody, and like doing what I'm doing right now, just butting in and like, you know, it's like, do you know what I'm talking about when it feels like you're listening and you're just like, boy, did I interrupt this person, or did I like just go on and on about something they did not care about, you know?
Yeah, no, it's hard when I go back and listen to the old ones, but I think like listening back to them for so long now has made me better at it, you know? I feel like
I'm anticipating, you know, I know it's important.
I think it's also like a conversational podcast like this and an interview podcast are very different things. You know, like we can cut each other off now and butt in, but when you're trying to interview someone and I don't know, especially with Turnout of Punk, I feel like I'm almost beholden to that. Like I got to make sure I'm not, you know, but I definitely go back to the old ones and I'm like, holy.
You have a ton of consistent experience. Like you've never really taken a break from interviewing or interacting with people on camera and stuff. And I've had big lags, I think, in between that, you know? And like the podcast, like one of them is just me literally only talking about whatever. And sometimes I apply that to the more, and I have conversational and interviewee guests, and so sometimes, like, you know, I get mixed up, you know, so it's but it's a challenge. It's like really interesting to me that like I'm almost 3 years in and it's like, oh, okay, so like this still isn't even at like as much as I want it to be, like I haven't made it what I want it to be exactly yet, you know, but I think I will get it.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing, is you just got to keep doing it. Like, that's the ultimate thing with the podcast. It's like, it's a war of attrition. And the last podcast standing is going to be, you know, the one that, you know, but that's how it is. Like, you just got to keep going with it.
It's going to be a self-help. I mean, there's a whole world of podcasts that, like, the average comedy podcast person is not necessarily listening to. And those are the most popular ones. You know,
I've very rarely heard of comedy podcasts. Yeah, I've never really heard comedy podcasts. I've never really heard any type of podcast other than wrestling podcasts. And like
earlier today, podcast
and your podcast.
Earlier today, you said you hated
comedy.
Comedy.
Yeah. I find comedy not very funny a lot of times. Like, just, I don't know.
We're in a lull, but if you want to have a good time with a comedy show, watch How To with John Wilson. It's a good
one. I think I did. Maybe I didn't watch that one. I don't know. I've watched a bunch of stuff. There are some good TV shows. I really have enjoyed AP Bio. I find I laugh a lot with that show.
Hang on. I'm going to close the door.
You have an option to close the door this whole time?
Well, I don't want to must up my room.
Oh, there you go. This is the weirdest podcast I think we've ever done. It's like, it's just so bizarre.
Is this a conversation? Really, did we accidentally just have a phone? Like a party line conversation?
Yeah, it's like, maybe we don't put this up. Maybe it's just like a conversation.
I was trying to get all the stuff that I might, or someone might bring up before, in text form, before we started this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, we cleared a lot of we vented a lot.
Phlegm. The thing is, I still want to fucking vent. I mean, listen, of course I want to vent. I've got barking dogs around me all the time. And then I have two of the barkiest dogs. And then I just have this other dog that is tiny and old. And if I'm like 3 feet away from him, he starts barking, you know? So it's just like, I wish I could breastfeed. I feel like if I could breastfeed these dogs.
Well, I also probably wish you were a dog, because I don't think just being able to breastfeed is what you need in the situation.
You know, that's the other thing I would love to do, is to have that Snoop Dogg, what's my name? Who am I? Like, morphing capability, because like, essentially they do think I'm a dog that controls the food.
Can I just point out, Damien, that you said maybe we shouldn't air this, and now it's suddenly, this is podcast gold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is podcast gold. We got to put this up.
Yeah, no, we got it. I mean, like, the fact is, this ain't going to be no one-off.
No, D&D is a regular occurrence. I think that's the thing we realized.
Yeah.
This is like, as much as it is like a podcast, it's like a group therapy session for us, you know. And when this thing's all over, I can't wait to do this in person. Then we can all get Chipotle together afterwards.
Group therapy. Yeah. So you talk to your therapist and you're like, I'm pausing my podcast. I've got to pause.
Are you talking about me and my therapist?
Do you ever tell your therapist that
I do a podcast?
I've been to therapy and I've never brought up my podcast.
I don't think I've really brought up my podcast. So maybe I've brought it up as like something that I'm disappointed in myself about.
I'm going to call my doctor, who I haven't seen I'm probably due for a physical at this point, to be honest, but I should call my doctor, because I have a podcast guest coming on that she is obsessed with. And I know this because every time I've gone to see her, she brings up the band Fun to me. And I have the singer from Fun coming on the podcast, and it's going to blow her mind. She is going to be beside herself. She brings up.
Can we talk about Eve 6 for a second?
Sure.
Remember that band Eve 6?
Yeah, I think so. They had that song like, put your heart in a blender, put my heart in a blender, once for the ones, once for the videos.
Like, there's the guy from Eve 6 runs, you know, the Eve 6 Twitter, and it's like super like humorous and anti-capitalist. It's like a very interesting. So that Eve 6 has had a second life as sort of like a popular leftish. like critical Twitter account. And I think this is something interesting that's happened in this side of the century. You know, it's just like, you can, if you're an interesting enough person and you only had one hit, like you can have this sort of weird social media, like even Garbage, not that they were a one hit wonder on any level, but like Shirley Manson, you know, hosts like a podcast now.
She's cool as shit too. She is.
Yeah, she sounds great.
I've been trying to get her on the podcast for a long time, and she said she's going to do it, but it has not happened. But I met them when I was, they came to CFMY, and they did like one of those interview things on the Kim Hughes show.
Oh, we got to talk about this. This is the gold of this podcast.
And I went in and we met them and Butch Vig and the whole band, and they were the coolest fucking people ever. And they gave all my friends and I tickets to the show, and hung out with us for like a good, like, I don't know, hour after they did the interview, just chatting, you know, like I was asking Butch, like I was just like 14, 15. Right. So I'm asking Butch Vig about, you know, Die Kreuzen, like bands that I just read that he worked with that I had no idea about. Like, I'm like, what's this band Die Kreuzen like? Like, you know, like what's the thing like, you know? That's, and he was so just funny. The nicest dude. And they were just so nice to us. And she was super cool. And then we went on tour with them on one of those Soundwave things. Was it the year we did it together? They were on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ran into them a couple times, and they were once again super really friendly and really nice. And so, yeah, I ride hard for Garbage. Like I think that those, you know, it's like all punk people too. They all came out of kind of like DIY bands before they were doing Garbage.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, whatever. Like Garbage is,
I just gotta go to the bathroom, guys. Keep talking.
Classic alt.
I never really got into them. I mean, I don't have any opinion about them except for their name. I just never liked the name.
Musically,
musically, it never bothered me.
Yeah, no, I never like got into them serious, but they like always had some level of like, I was like, okay, like this is like Lollapalooza music or something. This is like,
yeah, that's a good term for it.
Or, you know,
oh, I loved Elastica.
Yeah,
that's different. I loved Elastica, and I was, Garbage was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is all kinds of like, yeah, like you say, Lollapalooza bands. I guess Eve Six is also part of that. There's tons of those bands that you just never. What's that? Everclear?
I was gonna say Everclear. Were like Everclear for a bit, but then Everclear. Like
tons of those Lollapalooza 90s bands.
But before we get into the Lollapalooza thing, I want to ask, like, Damien, did you hang out at that CFNY that was downtown on Bloor a lot? Because I was a rat for that. I'm surprised we never came across each other there, because I started going there. I moved by there when I was 13, and I just like loitered there. So I went and saw interviews with the Ramones.
I didn't see that one, unfortunately.
Trent Reznor. The Offspring, Stereolab. I met Stereolab and Bad Religion. It was like really like a large Ween. Like there were just so many people, and I would just walk like 11 minutes and suddenly get to go to see this stuff, and like it was neat.
I met Jim Jones, Jim Carroll.
Capo Jim Jones of Dipset. Jim Jones,
Dipset, like, he was awesome. No, I met Jim Carroll.
Weird.
Yeah, he was fucking cool. Tristan and I talked to him about Rancid for a good 20 minutes, and he told us, like, this whole story, and, like, you know, like, also that was, I think, the benefit, too, is, like, it wasn't just me, because I was, like, you know, 13 around this time, 14, but I had my brother who was like 11, you know? Yeah. And so I had this like little kid with me. So they were all like, you know, like, oh, they were super friendly to us all the time.
You know what's weird? That sounds like so familiar to me. Like, I wonder if we were in the
Were you there when Sonic Youth was there?
It's possible. I mean, you know, I wouldn't necessarily remember.
The coolest bands we met there were Sonic Youth were kind of like not dicks. Like they were actually really nice in retrospect, like for how punishing we were as kids, but like they weren't cool. Whereas but Pansy Division. Pansy Division were the best. They were
I hung out with Pansy Division, like for an entire afternoon. I like walked, went to Sneaky D's and they were sound checking, and I was like, you guys are cool.
Yeah, they were super cool. We hung out with them at CFMY, and then Garbage were like the best band ever. Like, they just like were so friendly to us, and we were so fucking punishing. Like, just like, oh my God. Like,
that was a weird thing about, like, so CFNY, you know, I guess they had their like corporate offices where they did most of their programming, but then there was this satellite location where they did all these like fancy interviews and stuff. And Kim Hughes did her show at 6 p.m. And I mean, they were so open to coming in and just like hanging out and loitering. I don't even mean like when there were guests, like we just go there, you know? And it was, did you have anything like that, Danko?
No.
BKLN. Or CHR.
I think around that time I was doing a show on CHRY. So yeah. I was kind of like, CFNY, come on. Like,
yeah, he's like, fuck this poser shit. This is some poser shit.
Which is why, like, years later, when I heard through the grapevine that we weren't, how did they phrase it? That our band wasn't compatible with CFNY after we had already gotten airplay. I was like, motherfucker, you fucking, you know, I'm from CHRY. Fuck. So, yeah.
Well, that was the thing. Like, yeah, you graduated out of CFMY pretty quick once you found out about CHRY and CKLN and
CIET.
I never listened to CFNY. Like, I'm not trying to be cool. I just immediately found CKLN first, and then I found CIUT second, and I just I liked the programming on CKLN. I didn't really listen to CIUT too much. And then once CIUT, I found
CIUT had the power moves, didn't it? Or was that on CKLN?
No, that's CKLN on Saturday afternoons. Mm-hmm. That's what
power moves and I were, my life.
Ron Nelson is what we were talking about before. But mm-hmm. once I found CHRY, I started listening to that exclusively. I only listened to that because it was just better personalities and programming and music, and it was wild. And then I started calling into CHRY and they would play my song and my requests and stuff. So I had more of a relationship with CHRY than anything like CFNY.
Well, I became friends with so many people who worked at CHRY as DJs. And those are the people whose like musical taste is like, you know, like just amazes me. But I was too far from that signal. So I couldn't even.
Did you used to call into my show?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't. Maybe I did once or twice, but I couldn't get your show. Like, I could not get CHRY downtown. So
Steve Perry was like, oh, you have to hook up your cable to your sorry, let me cut off. But like, Steve Perry would always be like, oh, you got to hook up your cable to your fucking radio. I'm like, your cable to your radio? How do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Doing that shit. I was like 14, you know, and so that was CHRY existed in this thing, kind of like your Dijkhuizen situation, where it's just like something I knew about, but I thought was amazing, but like I wasn't cool enough to figure out how to listen to.
Well, they play CHRY, unlike CKLN, CAT, CHRY would play something like Dijkhuizen in at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so
that's like a proper WFMU, like a proper whatever that like the LA based kind of KPLX or whatever it is, KXLU, and like those are awesome ones where it's just like it's like a your own iPod on shuffle all day
long. Well, yeah, and eventually I went there when I was in high school. I went there to sit in on a show. I met Steve Perry like when I was in high school. And that's when he had dreads. And I was
should
like,
should make it clear, it's not the guy from Journey.
Right, of course. I met
Steve Perry. The real Steve Perry, thank you very much.
The real Steve Perry.
This is legit Steve Perry. Linchpin of the Toronto hardcore dreadlocks. World.
And yes, this is like long, long time ago, never met a white guy with dreadlocks before. And I was like, wow, this is a wild place, man. And I sat in on her name was Glynis. I don't know what happened to her, but she played
Glynis Johns. Rock. Glynis Johns from Mary Poppins, the mother, was a DJ on Caesar Black.
No, there's other people named Glynis.
He's a hall pass of mine.
You're talking to a dude who has TikTok, Nick. You sound like you're 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I got TikTok, man. I'm on TikTok.
Like, should I do TikTok?
I'm considering leaving TikTok after I signed up yesterday. But then that night, I sat behind her. I sat in the chair behind her, and I just was really quiet and very nervous and intimidated. And she played the Gruesomes, and that's when I heard the Gruesomes for the first time. And then we ended up playing with the Gruesomes in 2000 at the Horseshoe. But so things have a way of coming around. But it was CHRY is kind of like how CFNY was for you guys. And then I became like part of the staff there, and I had a show there, and yeah, it was great. And there's been a lot of people who've come out of there, like Matt Galloway.
Yep.
For sure. And like our friend AL, you know, and
yeah.
It has shifted though. By the time Nick and I were kind of like CIUT was like where Mods and Rockers was. That's where Allison and Jamie had their show. That's where Thor had his show.
Hell yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, like it was much more
and
like
CKLN was
Brian Taylor,
and Power Move, and
Jill Heath.
But they had retired by the time I was
even
kind of like,
yeah, not Jill Heath, but CIUT was Yo B, was someone Yo, like I used to listen to the Yo B show, and she was this really like nice, like, you know, played cool music, like DJ lady. And I when I was young, you know, I was all about like corresponding with people, even to the point of like having long phone conversations with people who like I didn't meet that much. Like I talked so much to Patty Kim, you know, Patty Kim of Punk Planet, like who did the zine Alternazone when I was growing up, and Fuzzy Heads Are Better. And we talked on the phone all the time, and I would call in to CIUT, and I would like talk to Yo B a lot when I was like 14. And we made a plan to like hang out at the Rivoli. And I was like, yeah, just going to hang out with Yo B. And it must have been so insane, like for a woman in her like mid-20s or whatever, to like come to meet up with somebody. And it's like a 14-year-old. Hey.
That's the punk is the only place
to a movie.
Punk is the only place where that can happen. I'm not saying always, but it can happen and be innocent. You know, like that's it's not always, but like once in a while, like I remember becoming friends with the Monts and realizing that I had a friend that was older than my dad.
Yeah.
You know, and that you know, or he's actually, I think, a little slightly, rest in peace. He was slightly younger than my father, but like, you know, that was like completely normal to me because we collected records and he liked all the same music I liked and knew so much more about music than I did. And, you know, so it was fine. But yeah, like, it's just so weird that that's like, you know, like I had friends that were, you know, in their 40s when I was a teenager. And
I mean, ideally that can happen. Ideally,
yeah, you know, it definitely
it's almost like important for people who are like not creeps to like just sort of be like, you know, somewhat boundaried, like talk to people like they're not grown-ups, but you know, like mature people, and like just treat them nice, kid, you know, and like just say like, what are you into, like what do you like, just, you know, because I just think there's so many fucking creepazoids.
There's a lot of predators out there.
Like,
yeah,
and it's like, you know, ideally we just don't live in a world where like people just are too scared to do anything because of all of the bad people, but where like you can make a clear delineation between like, you know, someone's shit and someone who's like legit nice. But I don't know,
there's also like a lot of like talk
to kids.
Well, there's also like a lot of weird bullying stuff that would happen with like an older person I found with younger kids, where like they would be like, it was like, oh, what kind of shit are you working out here? You know, like
yeah,
like more than
you could definitely run into that kind of thing. Yeah. And you know, it's harder to understand people being in a bad mood or people being like short with you when you are like a kid, like it's a lot more sort of stressful and stuff. I mean, I'd still be stressed out by it, but that's because I was a kid and I was, that's, I'm still in that mindset of like not knowing what to do if someone's being.
That's why I think Amontz was like one of the most special human beings I've ever met in my life, because, and I talked to, I bring him up on stage every time we play Hamilton, and there's inevitably someone comes up to me and says, you're right. Everything you say is right. And like one time it was this, this woman who played in some garage punk bands, and she was like, he was the only dude that ever came up to us and was like interested in our band, like in a really like intense way that wasn't a creep. And and that's what it felt like, even like as a kid, like he was just like, oh, here's a mixtape. I'll make you a tape. And you're like, oh, weird. And it was 100% completely innocent. It was never like some sort of weird sexual thing or some weird bullying thing or some weird.
I made you a mixtape.
Yeah.
Exactly. The first song is I Want Your Sex.
Yeah. Like just like.
Second song is sex type thing. Third song is sexy back. Fourth song is Sex Bomb by Tom Jones.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's
like song is Sex Beat.
Sounds like you've made this mixtape before.
Yeah, it seems like it seems like an old Nick special.
Yeah, that's what it says on the like vertical writing thing on the cassette. Nick Sex Special.
Spine.
Yeah, the spine.
Well, guys, I gotta jump off.
Yeah,
Damien, should we stay on?
Well, I should probably jump off too, because I got a meeting as well in a little bit. But this has been fun. We should continue again.
Oh, this was fun. I like this.
We should do another one.
Do it next week. Do it.
I guess where should we say where you can find people can find us? Because we're going to be putting this up on all our respective platforms, right? So
This will be this is my return to the podcast.
I know your feed is alive again.
Yep. This is going to restart it.
There we go. We're you can find me at Left for Damien, and I do Turn It Out of Punk podcast on my own. And
I'm at Danko Jones on Twitter, at Danko _Jones on Instagram. And we're doing a live stream, my band, Friday, March 12th and Saturday, March 13th. Eventbrite.ca for tickets.
Oh, yeah, we have Fucked Up as a new song out too. That's 20 minutes long. It's chapter 24 right. minutes long. It's chapter two of
oh my god, 90
minute song.
I'm starting to get my lyricals back. And like I've been from the Wrong Hole band, and I'm in a band called Wrong Hole. And our first album was called 2012, and I've decided our next album 2021. That's the title. And I've got my like titles. I always start with like titles first because I'm a professional. And Airplane Mode.
Wait, this is the debut of the titles of the upcoming Wrong Hole right here.
I want to write a song. I have a song idea called Airplane Mode, and it's like about both how we are shutting off, how we shut off for 2 years, but also how we didn't get to be on planes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So look forward to that song in musical.
No, I can't wait. That's not going to be my only promo. Fuck that shit. And fuck you. My name is Nick, and I host a podcast called Nick Flanagan Weekly. As well, I am on a group stream / podcast called In the Green Zoom with just like amazing comedians, Ryan Singer and Chris Fairbanks, Gareth Reynolds, Maggie May, Matt McCarthy, and a bunch of other Phoebe Bottoms, Sarah June, Raphael, Paul Danke, James Fritz, all hilarious comedians. And it's a podcast, so you can download In the Green Zoom. And I am going to be on the March 9th and March 30th episodes, which stream every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Thank you.
I love the play on Green Room.
I came up with that title.
Do you guys smoke weed?
Yes.
You do?
Oh, wait, do the... Well, not on, not on the stream, but I'll like generally take an edible that will kick in like close to the end of the stream.
No, I thought that was maybe the green room thing. I thought that was also what you're playing off of.
No, bro. This is about the way we talk, like how the stand-ups talk when we're waiting to go up, you know? We're like, this guy's a jerk. Hey, one time I went to Montana.
I've seen The Big Sick, and I've seen that other movie where they do stand-up comedy stuff. I know how it goes backstage.
I will tell you that, like, this group of comedians, Greg Barris is also part of it. Like, this woman, my manager, Jessica, used to be in a band. She's from Vancouver. She used to be in a band called Hallmark with a man named Robert Dayton of Canned Ham, a interesting character from the Toronto and from the Canadian scene. And she just like has the wackiest, most like-minded group of people in her stable. So it's like really been amazing getting to know them. It's like, it's been very, crucial during this brutal.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Say hi to Hallmark for me.
I'll say hi to Hallmark. Say hi to jail for me.
I gotta leave. I gotta leave.
Say hi to Archer Post.